Welcome to the Choose Optimism podcast, a podcast focused on letting you know of the great things optimists are doing in your community. We are in our second series focused on club fundraising and projects throughout our Optimist International family. And we're continuing our fundraising series, talking with different Optimist clubs across Optimist International. And at this time, it is my pleasure to introduce Larry Harper from the Spencerville and District Optimist Club. Larry, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So one of the things we talked about on the Optimist podcast, Larry, is how you became to be an Optimist. Tell us a little bit about your Optimist story and how you became involved with the Optimist organization.
Well, 5 years ago, I joined Optimist in Spencerville. A friend of mine asked me to come to a meeting to talk to them about how they could raise money to build an outdoor facility for the kids, a park and place to skate in the winter time and play basketball and different things. So I've been doing fundraising for well over 40 years with different organizations, and it was time for a change. I retired from work. And I was looking for an opportunity to give more time again to volunteering. And my friend John Kingsbury, he asked me to come. And when I spoke to the people, they thought it was completely crazy because I told them that they could easily raise $30,000 in their first dinner auction. And they didn't know what I was thinking. But sure enough, our very first dinner auction. I've been doing these long enough that I have a pretty well set plan. I can break it down by how many people you have to have, how many items you have to have, the meal you want to serve, the size of the location that you have. And we can break it down and we could break it down to a $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. In fact, we're doing a $1 million fundraiser this October for CHEO, which is a Central Ontario Hospital for Children.
That sounds like a pretty impressive number, doing over close to $1 million.
Yes, it's a big goal, but all it takes is, no matter what size of dinner auction you want to do, you have to get the things donated, and it's a matter of finding the right people. When you're dealing with a project that is involving Sick Children's Hospital, there are a lot of people out there that have been involved, have their children, their grandchildren, their nieces, nephews, different friends of theirs who children have been, had to have the benefit of this hospital. So when you go out and you start talking to people, it's very easy, I believe, because I've been doing it for such a long time, but I find it very easy. I don't ask them to donate money. I give them the opportunity to be part of a major event that's going to take place in our community. And that's the big difference in fundraising. A lot of people believe that what they need to do is go and ask people for money. I don't do that. What I do is I teach the people to go and give other people opportunity to participate in an Optimist function. Optimist does a lot of good things in every community, and the people in the community know that. And when you go to them, approach them in the right manner, it's very easy to get people involved. The problem we have at the start is getting our own members involved in doing it because they fear many things. They don't think they have the big enough hall. They don't think they have enough people. They don't think they know anybody. They don't think that they can sell tickets. And what we do is we teach them to break down all of those processes. I have a project that I call, it's a dinner auction in a can, and I present it to many clubs. We've got other clubs in this area that are doing it this year. And what we do is we break down and we answer all of the problems that they feel they would have to be able to do a dinner auction and run a successful dinner auction. And when we break down those barriers, the biggest thing that I personally get out of this is that people build confidence in themselves. And once they do one, they can do more, and they can do more, and they can teach other people to do it. And that's the whole process, is passing on good projects. And we all learn them from other Optimist clubs too. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. What we do is we listen to the other clubs who have projects that have worked in the past, and we try to incorporate them into our own club. And that's what I did with these. And I do offer it to any Optimist club out there who is interested in finding out what we do and how we do it. I forward a presentation to them, a PowerPoint presentation, which breaks down every single barrier out there that will let them believe in themselves to be able to do a major project like this.
You know, that's a great way of putting these, getting the donations for the like live auction, let's say. I have a lot of experience with live auctions, you know, being an auctioneer myself. And you sometimes, when you explain people what project you're doing, it's very easy for them to get behind that and donate to you to get their name out there for sponsorship opportunities and just out their name out in the community.
Absolutely, because not only do we go out and get items to auction off, but we ask the community if they want to be a corporate sponsor. And in our community, it's a very small farming community. And what we do is we ask them, we give them an opportunity to either sponsor a table as advertising for their business or their personal own company. They can sponsor a table for $200, or we also offer an opportunity for them to become a corporate sponsor. And we go to the few companies that are in our community, and we tell them that they can be a corporate sponsor and be recognized throughout the whole event, all of our advertising and everything else, for $1,500. The first one we had one corporate sponsor. Last year, we had four corporate sponsors, and we're just getting ready. We're just starting into getting the final numbers together for this year's event, which is on May the 11th. And we already have four corporate sponsors that have come forward. And I'm quite sure we'll get one more because people want to be involved in successful projects. And when they're doing it for their own community, people get excited about it and they want people in the community to know they're involved and they participate in their community.
That's absolutely true. But let's talk a little bit about the fundraising that you've been doing, specifically the project for the last 3 years to get a park built in your community. Tell us a little bit about how that got started.
Well, I was asked by a very good friend to come and talk to the community because they've been struggling with, they do many events in the community and they help lots of people in the community, the children and the whole community as such. But they never really raised any big amount of money before. And they realized that this project was going to be, when they first started, they were talking about maybe $30,000 and how would they ever be able to raise that? And so I went, I made a presentation to them. And then as we did our first auction and we raised our $30,000, we actually raised $35,000 on the very first auction. I tried to get them to underestimate and overachieve, because lots of people will say, if you say 35,000 and you only raise 34,999, people think you haven't met your goal. So it's always good to be a little bit conservative and set your goal a little bit lower so that you can achieve it easier and it builds confidence in the people. So the first one we raised $35,000, and then all of a sudden it gave us the opportunity to think bigger for the project we wanted. And as we started thinking bigger, we realized, well, we're going to have to do another one to be able to meet that goal that we have. And so then we had a second one and we started thinking outside of the box again and saying, okay, well, what can we do? What other things can we do now that we have this kind of a project that's very successful in the community? And so now this is our third one. And our goal is to be in around the $100,000 mark. And that will pay for the project that we want. And then we will set goals for to expand on that project. But our big one right now is to meet this first goal of around $100,000 of a park for our community. And the people in our community want it. And they ask us, when are you having your next dinner auction? And they bug us to make sure that we are going to do it. Because sometimes people think, well, you know, we've already done two. Are people really going to be interested in doing another one? Well, the answer is yes. They want it more than we do almost, which is fun. And that's, we always have fun at this. What we do is we utilize our high school, our community high school, where our kids from our community go. They have a hospitality group there. And in Canada, what we have to do in Ontario specific, the kids have to get 40 hours of volunteer work before they can graduate. So what we do is we offer the kids in that program to get their hours by taking care of planning the meal. They order the food, they prepare the menu, they order the food, they prepare the food, they come to the event and they serve the food, they clean up, they set up the tables and everything else. Well, this is a big thing for them because they're in a hospitality program where they would never get to serve. We serve 300 people at our event. That experience is hard for a student to get serving 300 people. They usually get to work on maybe 20 or 30 kids in their class to prepare a meal. This really stretches them and gives them the opportunity to grow their experience. But what it does, it gives them their community hours. So at the end of their grade 12 year, they get to graduate because they have the hours already in place. That's important for our community, but also we're building leaders. The kids that have taken place in the last 2 years of the program are now, we just started a new club in that specific area where that high school is, and they're starting a new Junior Optimist program because they got excited about what they could teach other people to do and other kids to do. And that's what this is about. It's about sharing them, giving them the opportunity to succeed, and they help us to succeed. They get recognized in their community as kids doing good things. Quite often, the kids don't get overlooked about the things that they do in the community. At our event, when the meal is served and everything is cleaned up, we bring all the students onto the stage to be recognized. And they're recognized by, we usually have our MP and our MPP, so they're parliamentary people. We have our mayors in the community come. And all of those people, these kids get recognized. And that is a huge reward for them.
I think another thing that we can talk about on that regard is that people don't take advantage of the relationships like that in their community that they have to work one-on-one with kids to show them something. That is a huge partnership that you guys have with that makes this event successful.
Yes. And those same kids, they run another program of their own at their school every year, which is Relay for Life. And they donate all the money to cancer. Last year, that group's goal was $30,000. That same group of kids that worked on our project raised $78,000 for the community. That's because we were helping them to build leaders. They believe in volunteering and giving because they have a very special lady at their school that gives so much back to them. She is now the president of our new Optimist Club. What we're doing is we're reaching out and bringing all those people together in a partnership, and it just makes it a very rewarding program for everyone. We learn from the kids learn from her, they learn from us, they see that adults do want to volunteer, and now they want to volunteer more and more. So it's a very, very good program that we've been able to foster and just develop over the years now.
And so when we move forward here, talking about this event that you guys are putting on, you know, that dinner that the kids put on is a huge part of that. Now, do they have to figure out what it costs for the meal so you guys can figure out what goes through, like how much a ticket's going to cost when we start that, you know, the process with this?
Yes, they do. They do all the planning of the meal and they come back to us and tell us what the cost is. However, we get funding or we get people to donate everything. We're very fortunate in our area. I go to the local grocery stores and they provide all of the vegetables and potatoes and all of that for the meal. The meal that we've had for 3 years now, because everybody wants us to repeat it, is a sit-down roast beef dinner with Yorkshire pudding, potatoes, vegetables, desserts, tea, coffee, all the trimmings. And those kids plan it all. They make all the desserts. They provide us with a list of the groceries we need. And then we go out and we work on getting people to donate the groceries, the milk, the tea, the coffee. Everything is donated. We do not expense anything for a project. I'm a big believer in if the cause is the right reason, then people are willing to support it in the community. And when you're a nonprofit group, the reason you're having a fundraiser is because you need the money. You need to raise the money. You can't really afford to spend a whole lot of money to make a little bit of money. What we do is we get people to support it, where all the money comes back into the cause, which is important.
And Larry, before we get back into the what happens at your auctions that night, we're going to take a quick break and listen to a sponsorship from our friends at Optimus International talking about our upcoming convention in June. So we'll be right back. Hey, Optimus, what are you doing June 22nd through the 26th of 2024? Come hang out with us in Niagara Falls for the 106th Optimus International Convention. A chance to hear motivational speakers, attend workshops, and meet and socialize with other optimists from all over Optimist International. Did you know that the first club of Toronto was the first club to be chartered outside of the United States in 1924? So that means we're celebrating 100 years of optimism in Canada this year. So register for the convention today to have a great time and learn and meet amazing people from all over the world. And we're back talking with Larry Harper about the dinner auction they have. So we've covered a lot about the meal and how you guys get that covered. Let's talk a little bit about like the silence and live auctions and what kind of items and stuff that you have put into there.
Well, we have a lot of them are gift certificates, because one of the good things about a gift certificate, if it's something that someone is already going to be using, if they go to a certain restaurant or if they go to get their hair done at a certain place, they're willing to support our club. And so they all will pay full value or more than full value to be able to support the club. Then we have items that are donated that are actually material things. We've had $2,000 sets of golf clubs that we've auctioned off. We've had bicycles. We've had barbecues. We've had all kinds of camping gear for RVs and equipment. We have services. One thing that goes really well in an auction is all of us use certain services. We get our pants hemmed. We get dry cleaning done. We put new topsoil on our front lawn every year, or all of those kind of things. In the country, there's people that supply wood for wood-burning stoves. Like everything that we use, there is a value in it to the end user that's going to buy it and pay for it at our dinner auction. In fact, what we do is some people come up to us and say, listen, I'm going to buy a new washer and dryer this year, and I'd be interested in buying it at your event. Here's the model I want. Here's where I'm going to go. And we go and we ask the store that provided that thing, we ask them if they would be willing to supply it to us for free for our dinner auction. And they did. They actually gave us the fridge and stove and the washer and dryer that the people wanted. So sometimes people don't think about it, but if you ask people what they'd be willing to buy, they'll tell you. And then if they tell you, you go out and you ask for the people to supply and support that event, and they do. So it's a different approach to things. It's giving them the opportunity to the person that supplies the items that we sell or the services that we sell at the auction. It's giving their company the opportunity to be recognized. It's giving them, the individual, the opportunity to be recognized as being a supporter of community events. We put out advertising about it. We have a brochure, you know, from auctioneering. We write down every single item that we have in the auction in either silent or live auction. We show who donated it, what the value of it is, and which auction it's in, if it's a silent auction or a live auction. And so those people get credit for supporting the community, because everybody that attends the dinner auction gets that brochure. When we're done the auction, we send out a thank you letter, a personally signed thank you letter to the individuals that donate anything for our event. And that's a very important part. Because when you thank them, they get asked for things all the time. But when you take the time and thank them and recognize them for what they do, they're going to be the first ones coming to you saying, when's your next auction? We want to be part of it. And that's where we have the success. It's not only they helping us, but we help them.
Absolutely. And I think people forget sometimes how a small thank you can go a long, long, long way.
Yes. And one of the things that we've done also is we've got new members because of the community seeing what we do and participating in our auction. they come to us and they ask, how can they be part of it?
So when we talk about the silent and live auctions, though, about how many items do you have in each one? Like how many in the live and how many in the silent?
Okay, well, we have over 200 items in total. We have three silent auctions that close at different times, and nobody knows when it's going to close because that's what creates the excitement. People want to be part of it. You know how a silent auction works. You have a paper up there and they go in and they sign the name, and then somebody else signs the name after them. Somebody else signs after them. Well, that creates excitement. If you tell them it's going to close at 7 o'clock, they'll be up there waiting till 7 o'clock to do it. When they don't know when it's going to happen, then they want to make sure they got their name on the list. We also have 50 items. So in each of those three, we have 50 items that are in each of the silent auctions. And then we have 50 items that are in a live auction. Those are usually some of the more expensive items that also, they're items that you as an auctioneer, you know how you can get people excited. And people love a live auction. They like to participate in it. We have a very good auctioneer, the same as yourself probably. And you just know how to get the people where they want to be part of the event. And it makes
I've learned a long time ago, auctioneering, if people aren't having fun, they're not spending money.
That's right. And the whole idea is to bring that money in for the community. They're helping to put a park in their own community. We may be the ones pulling the work together for it, but the community are the ones that are really paying for it. We put in sweat equity. They put in dollars and cents, and we give them the credit for it. When we put up our we're going to be putting a big sign up for the park. It's going to be called the Spencerville and outdoor area, whatever we call it at the end. But anybody that's been a corporate sponsor, their name's going to go on that. And that'll be a legacy that'll be around in our community for a long time. And talking about legacies, it's a legacy for our members. When you can say that you helped build a park, or you helped build a new club, or you helped the children in your schools, that's a legacy that you can be very, very proud of. And sometimes Optimus and other clubs too, we don't tell our story enough. And what we have to do a little bit better is make a point of telling a story about optimism in our communities, about what we've helped and how we've helped in the communities. That's something that I think is a weak area in a lot of nonprofit volunteer organizations. They just do the work and they don't tell their story. But we could have a lot more members because people want to participate in successful events and be part of a good community group. And so if we tell our story a lot more, I think we could have a lot more members.
Larry, you have summed up the purpose of this podcast in about 30 seconds, to get the word out there to our members and to different people about in the community, about the things that we're doing in the community. And you have done so much with this dinner auction, where you're covering a lot of ground with fundraising, plus letting the community know what's going on, plus adding new members to your club, which is a huge thing, because if we're not adding members, our clubs are going to shrivel away and not be around if we do not keep them vibrant and have club members active in our communities.
Yes. Not only do we need new clubs, but we need to get our own clubs back keen again. I think what happens is a club, like our club is 33 years that it's been out there. And we still have probably one third of our members are original charter members of that club. Well, when they first started, they were very keen, just like a brand new club that starts. They're interested, they're keen, they do a lot of things in the community. But after a while, they start to slow down. And what you need to do is bring new members in, not to replace them, but to give them a little bit of a break so they aren't doing the same projects over and over and over again. And that's the part that I'm trying to personally do. I'm Lieutenant Governor for our zone, and I have a personal goal to go out and bring new members on and bring new clubs into this organization. One of the areas that we can really, all of us in all of our communities, a big opportunity is multicultural groups in our communities, because there are a lot of multicultural communities out there that really want to be accepted into a community but have a hard time breaking in. The Optimus Club can break down that barrier and allow those people to come in and be part of a great organization. And when they're part of that organization in the community, they start to get recognized for what they're doing. and they'll be accepted into the community that they move to much easier also. And I think that's a real important area for us to look at, because we are both multicultural countries, Canada and the U.S.
Larry, I just want to take the time to say thank you for being on this podcast with us, because in the last 25 minutes, we have covered a ton of ground and made a lot of positive impacts. And I can't tell you how much we appreciate you taking the time to share your knowledge with the other Optimist clubs across Optimist International.
Well, thank you. I think it's really important to know that when you join a club like this, if your heart's in it, you want to share it. This is an organization we have to share better. We can't keep it to ourselves. We can't keep it to a limited number of children. We need to give it out there to as many possible people that are out there that are looking for something, for help, to give them guidance, to give them pride of being part of a group like the Organist, of the Optimist Club, part of our organization. I think it's important.
I couldn't have summed that up any better myself, Larry. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Choose Optimism podcast. This series is focused on club fundraising and projects throughout our Optimist International family. We are hoping to inspire other clubs to pick up new fundraisers and new ideas to take back to their clubs and improve their communities in better ways. If you are interested in becoming an Optimist, please find us on optimist.org, or better yet, reach out to a local Optimist club in your community.